Sister Annie thinks I'm a science project. But you know something? I guess I'm not so average anymore.
Hey everyone, welcome once again to the secret world of Cal and Jack, in which Cal and Jack watch Alex Mack. I'm Jack, and joining me as always, Mack Street's back. It's Callan.
Hello, hello, hello. It's me.
Hello, Governor.
Hello. It's me, Peaky Blinders.
I'm not afraid of Tommy Shelby.
I put razors in my hat and I use them to kill people.
You've been watching Peaky Blinders, Cal?
No. No. I assume that's what that's the famous line, right, isn't it? It's me, Peaky Blinders.
I put razor blades in my hat.
Is it good? Should I watch it?
Peaky Blinders is pretty good. I think the first couple of seasons are really good. It kind of gets, I feel like it got too big later on. Like it's kind of, as a small kind of dense, kind of almost like claustrophobic, kind of like low-level gangster thing. It's really good. But then as the empire builds, it gets, it got a bit too unwieldy for me. I couldn't keep track of what was going on.
Yeah. Gotcha. All right. Well, I won't watch it.
That's this week's Peaky Blinders fact. But more pressingly, how about one of these?
A Mack fact. A Mack fact for today. A Mack fact. A Mack fact's here to stay. I couldn't get away.
Whenever I hear that theme song, I like imagine a garage band made up entirely of you, like five or six of you just singing in unison.
and was this time it was a garage band who only had like 20 minutes to rehearse because they left it too late?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like slightly lower quality than the previous garage bands have been.
Yeah.
And hasn't quite gotten around to redoing it yet.
Don't redo it. I like it. I like its... It's charm. It's lo-fi charm.
Like two or three of the guys are singing like noticeably flat.
That's the best bit about it.
Are we all dressed the same? Like yeah, is it exact copies?
I think you've got like flannel shirts on and like remember when you had that real long hair? Like when you were like 18 or something?
Yeah. Straight out of high school, big hair.
Big hair. Yeah. Real big hair. Yeah.
So do you see me as like a late 90s grunge kind of guy, not like I don't look like Flock of Seagulls.
No, it's more of like the Nirvana kind of look.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Are my jeans torn?
Of course they are. You've got big holes in them.
Yep. I like these guys.
And maybe you've got one of those cords that keeps your wallet attached to your pants.
Oh, yeah. I definitely had one of those for sure.
Because people are really going to steal the like $3.50 you've got in your wallet.
And my Met card.
How am I going to get home?
I'm going to have to ring my mum from this payphone.
1-800-REVERSE.
Or from like the one family mobile phone that one person at a time could take.
Yep.
And it was a Nokia.
Yeah.
This week's Mack fact comes to us from, I've used this source before. It's a Huffington Post article that was sort of an Alex Mack retrospective that was published in 2012.
I think a good journalist isn't supposed to divulge their sources.
Right, so, right.
So maybe you want to redact that.
Okay. This Mack fact comes from... and this Mack fact concerns the process of Tommy Lynch, who created the series, sort of the development of the show and him bringing it to life initially in the very, very early stages. Reading straight from the article here, selling the show to Nickelodeon was easy, Lynch said. With Kids Incorporated and Night Tracks on his resume, which are obviously those extremely well-known children's shows that we all know and love, Lynch said Nickelodeon came to him about doing a series. Lynch was flattered and convinced them to let him develop six different scripts for different shows. But, Lynch says, the only script I wrote was The Secret World of Alex Mack. I never had to write those other five.
I love that. Let me write you six scripts, actually. No, I'll just do one.
I'm just going to fart out this one about this kid.
Yeah, he's got superpowers. Which superpowers? I don't know. All of them.
I don't know. Whatever's convenient.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's it. So I guess that leaves us to ask, you know, what could have been? What else could have, what other sort of shows could have been developed in the same sort of Alex Mack, almost an Alex Mack universe or like a what other ideas do you reckon he might have had floating around in his head?
Well, I don't know. Maybe he would have just gone deeper into some of the side characters.
Because
I imagine, you know, there's only so many characters in the world.
Yep.
And most of them are in Alex Mack. So I guess Robin would have had her own show. Ray yep. would have had her own show.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe Daniel Atron would have had some sort of prequel.
I thought a prequel might be nice of George Mack and Barbara Mack meeting and getting together, and it's kind of like a Happy Days situation.
Yeah. Or was it like Boy Meets World?
Yep.
Young George Mack?
Yep, yep.
Where he's like a doofus at school.
Yep. Yeah. And he grows to be a doofus in adulthood.
Yeah, and it's narrated by old George Mack. Well, you never know what's going to happen when you're young George Mack.
And the whole series, it follows like the burgeoning romance between doofus George Mack and the cool girl Barbara Mack. Maybe she comes to the school from a different school and she's all cool and everyone is into her. And George Mack thinks he has no chance, but then he romances her by helping her with her science homework or something.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
And then it builds and builds and builds, and finally they get together. And at the end of the last episode of the last season, they kiss, and he goes,
mwah.
And then it zooms in on his lips. Have you ever watched any of these like young people shows where they take a prequel and they like Young Sheldon?
No.
Or they've just released Young Rock. Have you seen this?
I saw a poster for that the other day, but no, I haven't watched it.
It's
Young
like,
Rock might be good.
I'm kind of curious because but the thing is, I love Dwayne the Rock Johnson, or as my partner calls him, calls her Rock the Dwayne Johnson. but it's like, okay, we've got this really marketable thing, Dwayne the Rock Johnson.
Yeah.
Let's make a show that doesn't have Dwayne the Rock Johnson there and someone else playing a younger version.
Yeah, yeah. It really is. The charm of Dwayne the Rock Johnson is the guy, Dwayne the Rock Johnson, not the idea of Dwayne the Rock Johnson. Not him as a concept.
Yeah. Although maybe you watch it and you're like, oh, wow, really, it doesn't. It's just the concept of
it is the concept
of this rock of a man.
I guess I do sort of have some faith that Dwayne the Rock Johnson would develop a show. Like he has quite a good like his vibe is good, and I think his overall message is usually pretty good.
I think it would be kind of fun to watch a show about him getting into the early days of wrestling.
Yeah.
Was it the 90s or the early 2000s that The Rock was big?
I reckon late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah. Like I think just something set.
Well, Cal, he's been big forever. That's kind of his thing.
Yeah, that's true. He was born 6'3". He was kind of a reverse Benjamin Button kind of. But I don't think that's when it's set. Like, I think actually it would be really interesting to watch a show that was like set with all the characters behind the scenes of wrestling, because it's such a funny fake world.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure that must have been done.
They made that show Glow on Netflix, which is actually pretty good.
Mm.
But I think even just I watched that documentary about Andre the Giant. Have you watched that?
No, I haven't seen that.
It's really good, but it starts going into like some of the like interesting like power dynamics that were happening behind the scenes. Because the funny thing is, they have all of those like storylines, but then there are actually like interesting power dynamics happening between the different characters, and like who gets to beat who. And like the interesting thing about it was the kind of globalization of wrestling as a thing.
Yeah,
like it started off as just being like every state had their own kind of wrestling thing. And then eventually, like as television networks became more national and then eventually global, they just got bigger and bigger, and all of these smaller ones got kind of muscled out.
Yeah.
And I think that would be a really interesting show. I don't think that's what Young Rock is about.
I don't think it is. But hey, Carl, funny you should mention that, because that did ring a bell for me. Debuting on August 15th, 2021 on the Starz network is a show called Heels, which is a sports drama in which two brothers and rivals, one a villain or heel in the wrestling ring, the other a hero or face, war over their late father's wrestling promotion company, vying for national attention in small town Georgia.
Oh, wow. That sounds really good.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks pretty sweet, actually.
I'm going to watch that. Peels.
Check that out. Peels. Well, 10 minutes later, that brings us to the episode of The Secret World of Alex Mack that we watched today, Season 3, Episode 3, Working. What a weird title.
Yeah, it is a weird title.
It was almost like they were
like a working title.
Yeah, it's a working title. Come on, Cal. Well, he was going to call it Working. They were like just writing out Working title and got bored halfway through and then wrote the episode based on that. So in this episode, Robin has what happens? Her dog walking business. She lets three dogs, accidentally lets them off the leash, and they cause a whole lot of damage to old man Smith's rose garden. Mm-hmm. So she's up for $180 worth of damages that she needs to pay for. $180, which she doesn't have. And so her and Alex are lamenting the fact that they're both super poor. Meanwhile, a new video store has opened in Paradise Valley, and Ray and Lewis could not be more excited about the video store. So they're all go off to their grand opening, because you know how video stores have grand openings.
Yeah.
And teenagers all desperately want to go there and hang out at the video store for its grand opening.
Yeah.
And Alex and Robin see that there is a help wanted sign. So they both hand in their resumes, and they both interview for the job of a video store assistant with the delightful Mrs. Hardwick, who runs the video store. And to their surprise, they both get the job. So Alex and Robin start working the video store to earn a bit of cash. And meanwhile, Dave and Vince, who we haven't seen in the show for a couple of weeks, but you and I, Cal, haven't seen them for months.
Yeah.
So it was a welcome return from those two. They turn up, and Vince tells Mrs. Hardwick that she is to be the recipient of a free security system as a welcome to the neighborhood gift from Paradise Valley Chemical Plant.
Oh, that's nice of them.
Yeah, super nice of them. But it is not that nice of them, Callan, because what they are actually providing is a GC-161 scanner.
What?
Because they are so convinced of the draw of the video store to every teenager in town. That every teenager will at some point walk through the scanner, GC-161 scanner, and they are going to wait in the car outside the video store forever until the scanner goes off and they find the kid that they're after.
Sounds like a good plan to me.
It sounds like a flawless plan. So Alex arrives at the store in the morning, then they install the system during the day. Because
she arrives there in the morning and they say, "What's this?" Remember? Because Robin's like,
yeah,
"What's this?"
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it just doesn't go off when she arrives. I guess they're not sitting at the front.
They haven't switched it on yet.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, because they have to like uplink to the car.
Yeah, because they're doing like the world's worst job of being like undercover cops sitting in the front of the video store in a convertible with the top down, playing with like weird toys and going, "Wheel, wheel, 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 wheel."
And like chatting to the people as they arrive.
Yeah, with this big conspicuous briefcase open with a big flashing button on it.
Alex doesn't actually immediately cotton on that it's this GC-161 scanner, but she spends the day working, and then Ray comes in, rents a video, and he goes to walk out, but he's forgotten to take the video. So Alex hands it to him through the scanner, and the scanner picks up that Alex has gone through. She gives the video to Ray. The alarm goes off. Dave and Vince run in. Vince grabs Ray and says, "Ha, we got you now." And there's a whole kerfuffle. The video shop lady comes out and says, "What's the meaning of this?" She looks in Ray's bag and there's nothing in his bag. And Alex says, "No, he paid for the video." So Vince gets Ray to walk through the scanner a bunch of times and it doesn't go off. And Vince is very, very sad because he thinks he's once again failed. But then while he's having a cry over the popcorn machine, he kind of has this epiphany and sort of thinks, well, if it wasn't Ray, maybe it was one of these two girls who work here, and looks very suspiciously at Alex. So he decides that he doesn't give up, and he thinks these girls have to leave eventually. We're going to wait here all night until they do, and when one of them goes out and sets off the scanner, we're going to get her, and their job will be done.
Mm-hmm.
So Alex, having seen Vince, figures out what the plan is. She calls Annie, of all people, to come and help her. And Annie turns up, comes up with the plan that Alex couldn't come up with herself, to turn into a puddle, get in the rubbish bin.
It feels like in all of these episodes, she has to basically call Annie for Annie to say, "Now, Alex, remember you've got superpowers?" Oh, yeah.
Duh, I forgot.
I could never do anything without you, smarty pants.
That's why our relationship is so complicated.
Ba-da-ba-ba-bo. And then it zooms in on her lips.
So Alex is in the garbage bag and Mrs. Hardwick goes to take out the garbage. She walks through the scanner. The alarm goes off. Vince comes in, grabs her as if she's a kid, and then realizes it couldn't be her, then gets embarrassed and sad and leaves. And Dave then offers to take the rubbish out for her, throws Alex in the dumpster. She rehumanizes, comes out, and Dave and Vince have gone home.
But you forgot the best bit.
There was a lot of good bits in this episode.
Yeah.
But the best bit was when Mrs. Hardwick, the elderly sort of stout woman who must be, I don't know, I guess mid-60s or something.
Yeah, like, she kind of looks like, who's that actress who from Misery, the Stephen King one, Kathy Bates.
Yep.
Yeah, she kind of looks like a Kathy Bates type.
Yep.
For anyone who wanted a mental image. Her character is a little bit different. She doesn't like get Alex and tie her to a bed and use a hammer to break her legs.
Yeah, right.
So she writes us the 6 scripts that were originally commissioned for Nickelodeon. I want all 6 scripts.
You promised me 6. You gave me this one about this girl who doesn't remember that she has superpowers.
Anyway, yeah, so go on.
So she takes the rubbish bag out, which contains Alex. So the GC-161 scanner goes off, and Vince and Dave run in, and Vince grabs this old woman and says, "Ha ha, I got you!" But then realizes something has gone awry again. Meanwhile, Dave kind of looks at her confused, and it cuts to this flashback in his brain that this old woman was the kid in the accident. And there's this amazing shot of this old lady wearing Alex's maroon cap and a hoodie and a backpack running through the field from the first episode.
This whole episode was worth it. That shot. Yeah. I think there's something to be said about this show, that every good thing that happens in the show is like a weird like throwaway fantasy sequence that some character has had.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. This episode was good though. I liked this episode a lot.
Yeah, it was generally a good episode.
This was a good one. I think it started really strongly. Like even though the first scene was Alex very sleepy coming down into the kitchen and then being told, reminded by her parents that it's her turn to make breakfast. Sort of yelling out from off screen.
Who has a big breakfast like that every day with eggs and pancakes and orange juice and coffee? And like, that's a like Saturday thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who's doing that before school every day? Have a bit of toast.
Americans on TV in the 90s.
Yeah, that's true.
And then the dad always comes down and is like, "Sorry, hun, gotta go," and grabs one piece of toast and leaves.
Yeah, puts it in his mouth.
Puts it in his breast pocket.
And just slides some flapjacks and some bacon and maple syrup in his breast pocket and saunters out the door. That classic scene.
Yeah. But we do have once again Alex using her powers for chores.
Mm.
But this was a fun little scene. This was more like a Mary Poppins kind of scene where there was jaunty music and everything was... You know, it wasn't just Alex make breakfast, so she uses her powers to make one thing of pancakes.
I do
love...
She
made the toast. She made the coffee. She put a flower in a vase. It was fun.
Yeah. I do like seeing stuff like float around on wires. That's always fun.
Yep.
Woo, 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 woo. Sometimes when people ask me to like pass the salt at the dinner table, I like to pretend that I'm being a little invisible. Well, I know. They don't know what's happening, but I enjoy it.
You know what's going on.
I'm being Alex Max Powers.
Guys, yeah, sure no, you know that show we all watched
sure you
and
are,
remember
sure
really
you
well? Callan, did you ever go to the grand opening of a video store?
I spent a lot of time in video stores, but I don't know if I went to a grand opening.
It seems like the sort of thing you would have done given the opportunity.
If I'd heard about one, I probably would have been there. Yeah.
Yeah. I quite liked the video store was, I think they, the set dresses and stuff, I think they had fun. And I think they did the best they could with whatever budget they had to make this look like a fun, interesting video store.
It clearly was not a video store, though.
No, like, no. I'm pretty sure it was the cafeteria from the high school.
Yeah, it looked like... Because for one, there was no windows. Like, it was a very dark, dank kind of place, which, I mean, I guess some video stores are.
Mm.
And it also... just like had no posters for movies. Like,
no, but they had like the horror section and it was all gothic and spooky and there was cobwebs. Yeah, and
I think because they couldn't get away with like using actual video art, they kind of did the place to look like a Halloween type deal.
Yeah. I thought the way it was set up and the way it was lit, particularly in that scene where Vince kind of cottons onto them, maybe it's Robin or Alex who he's looking for, and he has that realization and the lighting kind of changes and there's a slow zoom in on his face and he says, "Fool me once, shame on you.
Yeah.
Fool me twice, shame," or whatever. That scene coupled with like the background of the setup of the video store kind of had a Dr. Dreadful vibe. Remember Dr. Dreadful?
No.
Do you remember Dr. Dreadful were those toys that they used to advertise on things like Nickelodeon where you like make like horror-themed lollies and candies?
Yep.
You'd like get a little packet of like sugar and gelatin and flavoring and there'd be a mold, like a Frankenstein-shaped mold and you'd make it.
Yeah, you make a brain and then you eat it out of a skull. Yeah,
and then it gave you like really bad diarrhea.
Yeah. I saw the ads, but I don't think I ever had access to Dr. Dreadful.
Yeah, I had a Dr. Dreadful, but I feel like maybe I did it once and it was very messy and not that much fun.
Yeah, then you've just got a bunch of sticky skeletons.
Yeah. But I remember being really, it was one of those things that I feel like I saw a lot of ads for and wanted for a really long time.
Mm.
Like it seemed really cool.
Do they still do... I mean, I guess I don't watch kids' shows anymore, but like, do they still do like ads for kids' toys? Like, I feel like 90s was big for kids' toys ads that made you really want the thing.
Yeah. I think they must.
Because otherwise, like, how is everyone super into like Beyblades and whatever else people are into? I don't think they're into Beyblades anymore.
No, it's more Call of Duty now.
Yeah, Fortnite.
Yeah.
But there's still things that people have.
Yeah, I think, I don't know, maybe they have ads or maybe it's just like ads are now just other kids opening the products on YouTube.
Yeah, that's true. That's probably true.
It's a bit more like viral online stuff.
Yeah.
But kids' toy ads used to be so cool.
Yeah, totally. They were like so much better than the toy.
Yeah.
And like and kids' toy television shows, like Action Man was basically a show specifically to sell Action Man and Transformers, I guess, as well.
Yeah. Like if you showed me an ad where a kid was holding an action figure and there was some like blocks or something stacked up, especially if it looked if the setting was made to look like a construction site or something, and the kid hit the block, like it didn't even need to be like a special feature of the toy. The kid could just hit the blocks down with the thing, and I'd be like, yeah,
give me one of those blocks.
Yeah.
We had my partner's like nephew over for his birthday, and we watched Small Soldiers.
Oh, sick.
It's so good.
You didn't want to watch The Secret World of Alex Matt?
I don't know. We wanted to try and find something that would entertain him.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, one of my first jobs was working at a video store.
Did you have a grand opening?
Not that I remember. It was already open. Mm. I was really wanted to work there. Yeah, it was the one around the corner from the university we used to go to.
Yep.
It's a pretty good job. Mm. I think I've got a pretty good knowledge of who was in what movies from about the period of 1990 to 2004 from both working at JB Hi-Fi in the DVD section and the video Busters Paran, which... I assume is
long gone.
It was a video store and internet cafe. Good investments. I liked it. It was pretty easy. Yeah. You just had to put videos back on the shelves.
Yep. Sometimes take them off the shelves.
Yep. But I don't know. There's just something very therapeutic about alphabetizing DVDs.
Yeah. Yeah. It's almost like I remember you having that job at the video store around the corner while we went to film school in Paran. Like it was almost too straightforward. Like, if it was in a movie, I'd be like, that's a bit on the nose.
Yeah. But
this guy working this video store, which is kind of a unique, interesting video store.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
They didn't, it wasn't the best video store. Like, I used to take movies from there because you could get them for free, but sometimes I would also go to the better video store to rent the, like, you know, more obscure stuff because it was like relatively, you know, the basic stuff that you...
You're,
it wasn't quite as bad as a Blockbuster, but it was like not that far off it.
Yeah, okay.
There were many times that I had to, like... If a movie didn't get rented a certain amount of times, we were supposed to take it off the shelves and sell it on eBay.
Yep.
And there were a few times where it was just like, you know, it was telling me to sell our only copy of like Casablanca or Third Man or something. And I'm like, no, we need to have a copy of this. This is like, I think a legal requirement that you should have a copy of Casablanca at a video store.
Did you have to wear a uniform?
No, I think I had a name badge. That was about it.
Name badge. All right. So no shirt or anything you might wear on your head.
She doesn't have a cat. Her mom's name is a hat, but she always, well, almost
always wears a hat. Alex Mack wears a hat. How about that?
How about it?
So sorry to cut you off while you were thinking about your uniform, but I felt like we had to get into hat chats because this episode had so many hats.
I was just so engrossed in the trials and tribulations of the characters. I didn't even notice any hats. What were the hats?
Khaled, I could barely keep up with the hats in this episode.
Wow.
So Alex wore what I think was a new hat. I think she might have worn a couple of new hats. Green corduroy cap.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Mm.
Like an olive green corduroy cap to start with.
Yes, please.
Lewis, who's back in town. We haven't seen Lewis for ages.
Yeah.
Like we didn't even see Lewis towards the end of last season, I don't think. But Lewis is back wearing his classic Callan Kangol hat and sunglasses combo.
Yep. Pale little Callan lookalike.
Robin wore a hat in this one. Robin sort of taking a cue from Alex and wearing a backwards cap, but hers was black to fit with her standard color palette.
Mm-hmm.
Dave was back. Initially, Dave was wearing his standard issue chemical plant black cap, but then later on was wearing a visor as part of his disguise.
So their disguise, I didn't really understand this. They were in a convertible sitting at the front of the video store, but they were kind of dressed like they were about to go on a tropical holiday.
Yeah, they were going to like retire in Florida together.
Yeah. Did you understand the motive? Like, I thought you were supposed to wear something inconspicuous. They were both wearing the most conspicuous clothing, sitting in the most conspicuous car, and then making like really strange noises to attract attention.
It was a lot. And then Vince's attempt at a disguise was like a bright yellow shirt and a big straw hat.
Yeah. It looked like he was dressing up like a scarecrow or something.
Yeah. Alex, while she was having the job interview, she was wearing like a brown kind of fishing hat kind of thing, which then she swapped when she started working for a blue fishing kind of hat.
Mm.
Mrs. Hardwick, who ran the video
store. Oh, she had an amazing hat.
Well, she had this black, I couldn't quite figure it out. She had this black cap on.
It had like a kind of...
with like ribbons or something?
I think it was like some sort of fabric flower.
Right, okay.
That's what I read it as. It was like a kind of rose type thing.
Okay. At first I thought it was like, it almost looked to me like blonde, like ringlets, like hair, like curly hair glued on the front.
Yeah.
And I thought that's a weird thing to have on your hat.
My mum used to buy these weird, like
scrunchies made out of hair
at the Carrara market.
Classic. There was that great scene we mentioned before, Mrs. Hardwick in Dave's flashback, where Mrs. Hardwick playing the role of Alex, wearing Alex's classic maroon cap from that episode.
It's just like, it's such a great, like, can you upload images into the episode descriptions? Because I feel like people need to see this thing because it's so good. Because there's a second where she's running away and she's not facing the camera and it just looks like Alex has gotten really fat. And then she turns around and it's just this old woman. And it's
old
just
woman running.
Old woman dressed as a like 12-year-old girl.
Yep.
In Vince's memory. And I thought it was a little bit of a wasted opportunity because I thought it was going to come back to Dave, and Dave was going to be, that's her, that's the kid.
get her, Vince.
But no, it's very good.
No, it wasn't to be. And Alex finishes the episode in just a plain grey backwards cap that we haven't seen before. But what I thought was cool in this episode, it was only worn very briefly, but I did see them sitting on the bench. There was they had some merch for the video store for Paradise Valley Video, and one of the merch items was a cap with the Paradise Valley Video logo on it, which I think would be a pretty sweet piece of merch to have nowadays, like a really cool retro throwback.
And there was actually another hat that you failed to mention.
Ooh, what hat did I miss?
There was a moment where Alex reconstituted after being thrown in the rubbish bin, and she had a banana peel on her head.
Banana hat.
Banana hat.
Yep. Good hat.
Classic get out of the garbage and you've got a banana peel on your head hat.
Yep, straight on your head. I really enjoyed this episode. There was like a lot of other good things from this episode we haven't even mentioned yet. Like Robin telling the story of how the dogs got out of control, as you know, she's explaining this to her English teacher who wants to know where her homework is, and she has to be like, no, the dogs actually ate my homework, and then all this other stuff happened.
And I think it was because it kind of had the feeling of like a more authentic being a teenager thing. Like sometimes they have like, oh, being a kid is no fun, I have to do my chores, which just feels like an adult writing what they think a kid would be like. And it still had that, but it did feel like just all the kids hanging out at the video store, picking movies.
Yeah.
I don't know. It felt like a real familiar thing.
Yeah.
I thought the character choice of the lady who ran the video store was a little bit strange, because they wanted the video store to seem like the coolest place to be. But it was ran by this like real kind of like crotchety old lady who was like really sarcastic and just, I don't know, like you think it would be like some kind of cool guy.
You think it would be gal. You would have thought it would be Callan.
Yeah, it would be me. Yeah, that's right. That's who you want to see at the video store. Someone who silently but very obviously judges you when you check it. Oh, okay. Yep.
All right. Well, that's just going to just about do it for this episode of The Secret World of Callan Jack, in which Callan Jack watch Alex Mack. Callan, have you had a good time?
Yay!
Yeah. I had a really good time with this episode. I had a big smile on my face.
Yeah, it was good. It mainly just made me want to go to the video store, and then I got a little bit sad because
you can't
do that anymore.
You could turn on Netflix and scroll through titles.
Then scroll for titles for 45 minutes and then go to bed unsatisfied.
Yeah. And then watch something you've seen before.
Oh, great. 45 different listings of movies, all with about 80% of the same movies in them.
In a slightly different order.
Fantastic.
Oh, yeah, no, having unlimited choice is great, and it's really advancing us as a species. So until next time, you can email us on secretworldpod@gmail.com. Otherwise, stay tuned to your podcast feed. We'll be back with season 3, episode 4 of The Secret World of Alex Mack next time on The Secret World of Callan Jack, in which Callan Jack watch Alex Mack. Until then, I've been Jack.
I've been Callan.
My best friend Ray thinks it's cool.
And my sister Annie's bad at driving a car.
But we didn't really talk about it. We'll speak to you next time. Bye.